Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
We had been discussing chapter 2, Sankhya Yoga, Yoga of Knowledge. And so far we had seen that just in the beginning, right away, as soon as Bhagwan started his discourse, he came out without waffling about what is the truth. He says, you and I are imperishable. So are all these people which you see them around you, all these kings. A complete paradigm shift for a normal person who considers himself to be perishable. I was born at one time and I'll die at other time. In between is my life. So I'm a perishable entity. Bhagavan said, no. Neither you nor I are perishable. We are imperishable. There was never a time that you did not exist, or I did not exist, or all these people around you did not exist. The existence is permanent. I may not exist in the same form and state I'm existing today as I existed as a child before, and I'm existing as an old man now, but still I exist. For that I, there is no non-existence. So that's a complete paradigm shift. And without any explanation, Bhagavan said, first thing you should know is, you're imperishable. And then he goes into the explanation. Because he realized that at the stage Arjuna is, a simple advice of this is your action, this is your duties, well, you should do this, forget about what they did in the past, but it is not going to work. This is a disease which has to be cured at its root cause. The root cause of all the disease or all the problems we have is the desire and attachment, which is born out of my ignorance about what the reality is. If I'm disillusioned, I'm deluded by this world and my relationship with it, the only way you can cure it is cure the root cause of it. Therefore, Bhagavan Buddha said, cure the disease of desire and everything will be cured. No matter how much we help somebody, but as long as the root cause is not cured, it will be a band-aid solution, you know, as we call it in architecture. Even though it's borrowed from medical, because it's a band-aid solution. Do you want to permanently? Well, let's demolish this building, build a new one. Bhagavan realized that just telling Arjuna what is his duty now and what will be right for you is not going to help. Let's start from the beginning. What is your problem? You are afraid that you will be killing these people. Well, you are incapable of killing these people because they are imperishable. The other day, our doctor, Anand Lothe, was trying to tell us how indestructible his glasses are. And he said, you know, the one good thing about these glasses, you can do, and by the time he finishes sentence, he broke into two. So, whole his demonstration of indestructibility of his glasses fell apart right in front of him. He said, boy, I need a new glasses. So, sometimes what we consider imperishable turns out to be perishable. Things which are, we consider indestructible, imperishable, turns out to be perishable. So in this life, what I consider is my security blanket, which I consider to be imperishable, because I think I'm in control, I have taken care of everything. The things which I rely on as dependable may turn out to be undependable. So from Arjuna's point of view, he was depending on his relationship and knowledge, about the importance of his teachers and his grandfather. My family, my dynasty, my culture depends on them. And Bhagavan said, that may not be true. However, what is true is you are indestructible and they are indestructible at the core of their being. Then he says, why? I don't feel it that way. He says, Dehino yasmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara. The classical example, we use it all the time, is just as I have changed from my existence as a child to young man to an adult, and I still remain the same I. The feeling which I have as I is exactly same today as it was when I was a young man and when I was a child. I always see other people as old people. I never see myself as old people, you know. And it's a very strange phenomenon. I don't know whether anybody can vouch for. I can tell you, I never feel I'm old, you know. I actually feel the same way when I was, oh, I'm young, I can do that. These people are old, they cannot do it. Then I realized that he's actually younger than me. You know, Swami Dhirananda used to come to Richmond, we used to host him. Then I said, Swami, let me take your bag. And he'll say, Nilkan, you forget, I'm much younger than you are. You know, I have more strength than you do, so don't worry about my bag. But we always feel at the core of our heart, we're indestructible, the same person as I was when I used to hold the real strength. That's why the middle-aged people go to play the sports which they are supposed not to play at their age. And then they get hurt. I want to play cricket. I really like cricket because I used to play cricket when I was 20 years old. Well, you try that today. And then after about two or three games, you realize that that's not the thing you should be doing at the age of whatever you are today. So at the core of your being, there is no change. Change is happening in the outside existence which you have, which is your body. Just as you have changed from a young age to old age, the same way this self will move from one body to another. Introduce the concept of reincarnation right away, in the second verse only. First verse he said, you're indestructible. Second verse he says, this death is nothing. So these are very shock treatment to somebody whose mind has gone into a complete delusion. They can't see the reality as is, and as all these psychiatric treatments used to be, shock treatment, you have to jolt him out of that state. Basically, Bhagavan is giving a shock treatment. We are all deluded by our own reality, our own security blankets, our own thinking about what is right and wrong. And he said, starts from this, you are imperishable, you will continue to exist in one form or another. Therefore, in any culture, and particularly in ours, suicide is never prescribed, because suicide does not solve anything. It exactly takes the same mental problem you have to the next state of life. Running away from my problems never solves it. Swami used to say, if you're unhappy here, if you say, oh, I'm so unhappy in the US, I'm going to go to India and then I'll be happy. You will be exactly the same unhappy person in India, except the place will change. As long as the internal climate you are taking with you, things are not going to change for you. So you have to change your internal climate. For that, Bhagavan gives you a shock treatment. First is, you're imperishable, not perishable. Think that way. Secondly, death is not going to change anything. You will start all over again. And then he says, why then we feel what we feel in our day-to-day life? These changes in my life occurring, some are pleasant and some are unpleasant. So he says, matra sparsaha tu kaunteya. Sita Ushna Sukha Dukha Daha. Here is the simple analysis how your experiences are defined by you and for you. Senses, when come in contact with the sense objects, it gives rise to the experience of pleasure and pain, heat and cold. So not two people feel the same way about the climate. Somebody in this room, it's too hot, Neil, can you check? Another person says, I'm perfectly fine, don't touch it. Husband and wife, Meena will say, it's too hot, and I also know it's too cold. And she will say, it's too cold, and I also know it's too hot. I think our thermostats work differently, internal thermostat. So the experience of heat and cold depends on two things. Outside world, which has obviously this condition, but also my sensitivity, my senses, its own sensitivity decides whether it is pleasant or unpleasant. Swamiji's classical example of cigarette smoker. Cigarette which gives one person a heavenly experience. Now, I'm a reformed smoker, so I know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay? When I was in college, and when we are in the dining hall, not interested in meal, when can I finish there and go and have a cigarette outside? That was more enjoyable, the cigarette after the dinner or lunch or any time, than the lunch itself or dinner itself. Same cigarette gives a repulsive reaction from somebody else. Now I'm a reformed smoker, so I'm the worst one, and I can't really tolerate even the smell of cigarette. We have one smoker in my office. Every about an hour he goes out, smokes and comes back, and then he feels obliged that why every time he goes out there, he needs to say something to me. And I say, well, you go away, I really don't want to talk to you right now, because you're smelling cigarette all over my office. The same object which gives pleasure to someone gives pain to someone. What it tells you is, object has no capacity to give you pleasure or pain. It is your senses which decides which is pleasurable or painful. So Bhagavan said, Matra sparsaha tu kaunteya sita ushna sukha dukha daha. This context between the senses and sense objects are the cause of all the experiences you have. So if you remove yourself from the senses, because you don't think you are your senses, then these experiences are not yours. Experiences of my car are not mine. So my experience of my eyes, I consider mine. And I consider my eye to be me, but I don't consider my glasses to be me. My glasses are not me because I can go to lens crafter and get it done in 1 hour. I know that. My eye, I cannot. You know, so I have to rely on Santaramji and his colleagues to say, make sure that it's functioning well. You know. Because of that attachment, that identification with the eye, which makes me feel it is me. Bhagavan said this identification with your senses, that your senses are you, transfer all those experiences to you, is whether it is heat or cold, pain or pleasure. So understand, these are not your experiences. These are the experiences of these senses when they come in contact with sense objects. And it depends on your sensitivity, your sense. You will feel whether pleasure or pain. My mother, I remember, she can pick up the burning charcoal and then put it in. I said, don't you need it? She said, no, I'm fine. Now, I can't even pick up the hot cup of tea because her fingers are numbed by all those cooking. So she can pick up charcoal and put it in. I can. When we came to this country, you had to get the fingerprinting done at the airport because you come on a green card. You know. Well, obviously, they have a green card. They take it out. They make your fingerprint, put it on a green card, sealed it in their plastic and give it, that's a green card, sir. Well, mine was done. Meena comes after me. The guy tried and tried and tried and tried and couldn't get a fingerprint done. He says, sir, I'm sorry, but your wife probably have to go to the downtown in Houston to get this fingerprint done. We don't have capability to take a fingerprint. And I said, well, what's the problem? He said, because her ridges are all worn out because of what are the chemicals you use and all that while doing your dishes. So we may have special machine in downtown Houston which may be able to do it, but we can't do it. Same thing, but two people have two different experiences. I could get done quickly, she cannot. Bhagavan says that's what it is which gives you pleasure and pain. You can change your experience by changing your sensitivity. Agama paino anityaha. Know that all these experiences have beginning and end. There is no experience which is permanent. Every project I do We get all excited when we get it. Then we go through all the pain and say, God, when this is going to end? The dedication day, everybody's happy, everybody's congratulating each other. Nobody's complaining. We all forget about what happened. Agamapayino anityaha. These experiences are impermanent. They have a beginning and an end. And they're impermanent. Our little granddaughter does it. She likes one song. That's it. That's going to play in our house whole day. You cannot change it. She goes, no, dholi taro dhol baja. That's 30 months old. Because we may like it one time, we may like it second time, third time. At one point, no matter how pleasant an experience is, will give you a sense of, I can't stand it. Bhagavan says, agamapayino anityaha. The underlying word is anityaha. They're impermanent. All accomplishments I have, everything I have achieved, everything I have is impermanent. Tam titikshashva bharata. So here comes the advice, the first advice from Bhagavan. All these experiences you have, there may be some which are very conducive, some are non-conducive. Bear them all. You really have no choice, really. We can say, I can't stand summer. Can we not skip the summer next year in Richmond? I mean, we are a democracy, we can do whatever we want. We can vote it out, summer out of Richmond. Not in our hand. So, bear it. If you know that everything that is happening in your life obviously has the same relationship with you and the weather outside, you bear it. You find the most conducive place to bear it. May buy an umbrella if it is too hot, or make sure air conditioning working. But let's say air conditioning stops working right now, what are we going to do? Bear it. We had rented this place before to one of our group who wants to do bhajan. They have invited people from all over the place. And air conditioning working fine. As soon as they started their function, air conditioning stopped working. So they called me. I came down. I fiddle around. I said, oh, I'm sorry. But right now, you have no choice but to bear with it. Monday morning, the technician may come. So Bhagavan said, all these experiences, you can make them bearable by changing your attitude towards them. That the good will pass, so the bad will pass too. This is not a permanent situation I have. Yamhina vyathayantiyate purusham purusharsabha. So some people we see are living happily their life, and some are constantly complaining. You say, why is that? One expression I've heard is, I have sorrows, but I am not sorrowful. Gujarati had say, I have dukkha, but I am not dukhi. Dukkha comes to me, but I don't let it make me unhappy. I bear it. I tolerate it. I accept it and then deal with it. But I don't let it go to the core of my personality or my being. People look at this person, he's so unhappy. I have unhappiness in my life, but I am not unhappy. Yamhina vyathayantiyate, one who does not get afflicted by this, purushaha purusharsapa, he is the best among the men. He has the best situation among all the people. Therefore, some people feel bliss even in any situation, and some feel unhappy even everything is going right. I give this example all the time. I have seen a concert which was a combined concert between Ghulam Ali and Anup Jalota in Northern Virginia. They typically have this program in a high school auditorium. They don't have the best of the technicians coordinating the sound system. So the program started, sound system wasn't done well. Ghulam Ali was the first guy who was singing, and he was completely unhappy. He's looking at this guy, he's looking at that guy. He's making face while singing his ghazal. And we are, if you close your eyes, you probably enjoy his singing. But looking at him, we were also getting upset, you know, that what's going on. You know? And then after his segment completed, Anup Jalota came. Sound system gone from bad to worse. Now this technician is jumping on a stage on one side and coming on this side to adjust on that side. This guy continues singing. In between, he says, I'm going to do a magic. I'm going to make this guy disappear from here. He will appear from this side. And everybody's laughing and enjoying. He made that more a fun and make people enjoy the concert than making it unbearable. Same situation. Two people dealt with it completely differently. And that was a really eye-opening experience for me, that how you can deal with it. Same Anup Jalota, one time he was invited to this, I think it was like 92 or something, the Vishwa Hindu Parishad has a World Vishwa Hindu Parishad Congress or something in D.C. And Anup Jalota did not get visa for his accompaniment, gave a performance with himself on a harmonium and a tabla. But he never complained, and he actually says, give, you know, big hand to Anup Jalota on harmonium. He made it fun for everybody. And other people came and complained, we are sorry, we had this arranged, but we couldn't do this, and therefore you may not enjoy our performance as best as you can. Same situation you can deal with it differently. Make it more tolerable, more pleasurable, more enjoyable, or unbearable for you. So Bhagavan says, Tam titikshashva bharata, yam hina vyatayantiyate purusham purushasapa. Such a person who can not get afflicted by the situation and experiences is the best among men. Sama dukkha sukham dhiram so amrutatvaya kalpate. There is a constant theme of immortality in our Vedas and Upanishads, because we have a desire to be immortal. We all want to exist. Most basic desire for any being is to be in the existence. And therefore, fear of death is universal. From a great Mahatma to the great warrior to the most coward person, the fear of death is the most basic fear. So we all want to be immortal. And Bhagavan said the only immortality is for a person who is sama, dukkha, sukham, dhiram. One whose intellect is steady, where he can see that sukha and dukkha are nothing but the happenings outside of me, happening because of the context with the world and I, my sense objects, but it's not happening to me. One of those shows I have seen where the cancer patients were counseled by people, and the first thing the guy comes and says, remember, you are not sick. Your body is sick. Now, this is not a Hindu guy or Hinduism. This is some really motivational speaker or somebody comes to talk to the cancer patient and say, first thing you have to recognize is you are not sick. Your body is sick. And that takes away half the load from your mind, that I am still the same person. We have seen Dan Smith, 8 months he has suffered through. When you talk to him, it's exactly the same Dan Smith who used to come to the class. But when we see his body, obviously that's not the same Dan Smith we knew. So Bhagavan said, Sama dukkha sukham dhiram. One whose intellect is steady in seeing the sukha and dukkha is basically same, impermanent, his beginning and end, it will pass. So amrutatvaya kalpate. He achieves immortality. Immortality is your true nature, Bhagavan said in the first verse. You're not experiencing it because of a delusion about who you are. Once you remove this delusion, thou shalt experience immortality. Na asato vidyate bhavaha. Na bhavo vidyate sataha. Why? That is because the unreal never has any existence. My tail never had any existence, does not have existence, will not have existence. I do not have a tail, period. My little grandchild, the teacher asked her, well, the tailed animal. I said, Medha, do you have a tail? So she was keep looking. And now she's so fascinated. She said, Dada, do you have a tail? She comes around and looks at me, no, no tail. For her, that's a game. But for us, if you get deluded, that's a big problem. So Bhagavan said that which is unreal never had any existence and will never have any existence. Na bhavo vidyate sataha. Bhavaha means to be. Vidyate sataha. The real will never have non-existence. that which exists will always exist. You know? So from the Einsteinian theory, the total amount of energy in this cosmos will remain always constant, no matter what you do. No matter what we pollute this world, create ozone layer, but the total amount of energy is indestructible and therefore will remain constant in the cosmos forever. Because that energy from this relative perspective is real, the form of energy which we are seeing is unreal. So heat may become cold, cold may become this, energy becomes matter, matter becomes energy, but the total amount of that energy is indestructible and therefore it is real, therefore it does not have any non-existence. Ubayo upi drashtvaha antahatu anayotu tattvadarshibhi. One who sees the reality for both, that unreal can never exist, the real will never cease to exist. Now the problem is what is real and what is unreal, and our Upanishads describes it very simply. That is true in all three periods of time. Past, present and future is real. That which is not real for any one of them is unreal. If it was true in past, but now it is not true, well, that's not real. Swamiji gives a classic example of our dream. Before I went to bed, that situation in my dream that I'm a Bill Gates was not real. During my dream, I was Bill Gates' boss. That was very real. I was ordering him around, go get me a cup of coffee, do that, whatever, all the wonderful stuff he did for me. When I woke up, I realized I'm the same person using his Microsoft PC and complaining every day. That which was not real in the past, before I went to bed, that which is not real in the present when I'm waking, therefore it could not be real while I was dreaming in my sleep. So that's unreal. That unreality never had any existence, real existence. Never was I a Bill Gates boss. But the one which is real has never had non-existence. So from my perspective, when I went to bed, I was this. When I woke up, that's my reality. This is who I am. My relative reality in the short span of time of 2 days is this is real, that is unreal. And Bhagavan said, then when you take that to the greater level, at a macro level, you were never non-existent before your birth. You're not non-existent now. And you will not be non-existent in future after your death. That will never have non-existence. Existence can never be destroyed. It can only be changed into a different state of existence. A gold I have cannot be destroyed. For a relative example, it can be changed into its existence as bangles or earring. So Bhagavan is therefore ubayo api drushtaha tu anayoho tattvadarshibhi. One who knows this reality in its core, in its essence, he knows the reality on both sides and does not get deluded by the one or the other, by the non-existence or existence. And therefore, you have to bear matraha sparsastu kanteya, whatever you are suffering or enjoying, bear them happily. We'll stop right here.
Om sarve bhavantu sukhina, sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet. Om shantihi, shantihi, shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.